So that's Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and miracles and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved.
Thank you. Hello. Happy New Year. It's great to see you. I'll just move this up a little bit. Sorry, we're in such darkness. The lights tripped out just before church started and we got together today. So I hope you can see me all right. If you can't, it doesn't really matter as long as you can see your Bibles. As Tim and Paul have been saying, we're going to be starting this new series today, thinking about what it means to be a part of a church. It'd be really useful to me if you can keep your Bibles open. We'll be flicking around to a couple of other places. I'll give you page numbers as we do. But it'd be really useful if you could just sort of follow me in your Bibles as to where we're going, because it'll really help you to understand what I'm talking about and understand God's Word more clearly. So, Acts chapter 2, if you've already shut your Bibles, it's on page 1097. They just hate being the feeling of being the new kid, whether it's new in work, or whether it's new in the choir or the sports team or whatever it may be. Those first couple of times that you have to be the newbie can be really hard, can't they? I remember my first and incidentally my last ever judo lesson. I was about 8 and my friend Mark Minchin invited me to join him at the YMCA on a Saturday morning for beginners judo. Knowing nothing about judo, I eagerly accepted, and the following Saturday my dad took me down to the YMCA and my first class. Dad went and sat with the other parents to watch, and I went over to chat with Mark and my newfound judo buddies. Everything was going really well until the class actually started. The morning session was all about very simple judo throws. How to block an opponent's attack and throw them over your shoulder. I say very simple. After some warm-ups, the instructor asked us to pair up and practice our throws. It's perhaps worth saying at this point that my only experience of any combat sports up until that point was the occasional boxing match and, more importantly, watching Big Daddy, the wrestler, on the telly on a Saturday afternoon. All the other boys in the class had been there at least once before and so were slightly more familiar with the rules of judo. Anyway, I paired up with some boy who I'd never met before and the instructor demonstrated what he wanted us to do before he got each pair to demonstrate to the rest of the group their judo throw. Because myself and my partner were near to the instructor, we got to go first. And I was very eager be able to impress my newfound judo buddies, so I jumped at the opportunity to have first go. I stood there and waited for my partner to attack me. At which point, in my humble opinion, I rather impressively grabbed his arm, twisted it round, moved my leg out for balance, and threw him over my shoulder in the perfect judo throw. The problem came as I pondered what to do next. Surely judo was a sport that you needed to win. How do you win at judo? So I racked my brain trying to work out what it was that was going to impress the class. It was at this point that Big Daddy and Frank Bruno came back to mind. Somewhere in my little brain, I decided that I must have to pin my partner for a count. Whether it was a count of 10 or a count of 3, I had no idea, but to win, I had to win to show my newfound friends that Matt Thompson belonged in their judo class. So just as my partner was getting back up to his feet and the next pair were preparing to demonstrate their throw, I launched myself back on top of him, on top of this poor kid, once again throwing him to the floor and getting him in a headlock. And then I started to count out loud. I decided I'd better hold him for a count of 10, like in boxing, just in case the traditional 3 of wrestling wasn't long enough. Ignoring his and the rest of the class's screams to get off, I was so proud of my morning's achievement, until I looked up at my dad. Sat there with the other parents, by this time he'd held his head in his hands, and as we made eye contact, he just mouthed at me, rather embarrassed, "Get off him. At this point, I realised my judo career was over. And I spent the rest of the class having to partner the instructor. As the boy had half killed, sat the rest of the session out, and my friend Mark wouldn't acknowledge me anymore. I'm sure you may not have experienced something quite as similar, but I'm sure you've all experienced being the new boy or the new girl at some point. If only somebody had explained how things work, I could be a black belt by now. And as we come to look at these five verses in Acts 2 over the next few weeks, that tell us that basically what happened with the very first early Christians and how they understood church, my hope is that by the end of the series, none of us will feel outsiders when it comes to church. That we won't feel like the new kids. That we don't know what it means to be a member of a church. I hope we'll look at ourselves at Christ Church Central, whether we're new here or whether we've been here for the last 3.5 years, and ask, are we modelling a biblical church? Have we individually and corporately got it right? But right from the off in this series, it is worth saying that we do need to be careful when it comes to modelling everything we do, excuse me, as a church, on the model of the early church that we read about in Acts, and also the rest of our New Testament. It, like the church today, wasn't perfect. If you were to quickly skim through the rest of the book of Acts, you'll find hypocrisy, deceit, arguments, and false teaching are all within the early church. So we need to be very careful when it comes to what we take to be a good model for our church today. Having said that, as we read about the 3,000 who've been converted by Peter's sermon back in verse 41, as they begin to understand and live out their role as the new people of God, the church, we're left in no doubt that these first believers, filled with God's Spirit, have got it right. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, surely puts these verses into his book to encourage others to follow their example. And God himself seems pleased with their example, as in verse 47, he added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We have for us here in Acts 2 a good model for church life. And as we begin to think about membership of Christ Church Central, I hope that what we'll see modelled in Acts 2 is actually first and foremost linked intrinsically to being a Christian. These things that the first Christians do are the outworkings of their response to the truth about Jesus as they receive the Holy Spirit in verse 38. And although we're looking at what it means to be a member of Christ Church Central in this series, I'd hope that although the practicalities may be worked out slightly different, the fundamental principles of church life and membership should be the same in any Bible-based, Spirit-filled church that we come across. So if you're here today and you're just visiting us, or you're looking for a church to settle in, then ask yourself, is the church that I'm a part of, or looking to settle in, modelling these biblical principles? So why don't we take a look at what church membership means? And today we are only looking at half a verse, the first half of verse 42. And it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. So quite simply then, the first thing that we learn about being a member of Christ Church Central is that membership means being devoted to God's word. Membership means being devoted to God's word. You see, that's what it means to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Look over back one page to chapter 1 and verse 21. It tells us who the apostles were. After Judas had betrayed Jesus, the criteria for the person who was set to replace him was to be one of the men who have accompanied us, that's the other apostles, during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. One of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. The apostles then were to be eyewitnesses to Jesus, to his life, his teaching, his miracles, his death, and his resurrection. And if you look down a bit further to verse 24 and 25 of chapter 1, then we see that it was Jesus who specifically chose and appointed the apostles to be witnesses to him and to his teaching. And back in John's account of Jesus' life, you don't need to look it up, but if you're taking notes, it's in chapter 16 and verse 12, verse 12 onwards actually. Jesus tells those whom he's chosen to be his apostles that God's Holy Spirit will guide them into all the truth, and he will declare to them things that are to come. So the apostles were appointed to be Jesus' first-hand witnesses to him and to his time on earth. And God's Holy Spirit gave to the apostles all understanding and truth. All understanding in truth, given by God's Holy Spirit. So in other words, what they understood and taught is the word of God as it has been given to them from God. That is why this early church devoted themselves to their teaching, because what they taught was the teaching of God himself. Specifically, it was God's word about Jesus, who he is, what he came to do, what he will do in the future, and how we're to respond to him. And so what that means for us, if we're to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, is that we're to be devoted to, at the very least, the New Testament. What the apostles understood and taught from God about Jesus is written down in the different books of the New Testament. We too have the opportunity to listen to God's word spoken through the apostles' teaching. But I say at the very least, because actually I think that without having to stretch what's being said here in Acts 2 very far, we can actually interpret the apostles' teaching to include not only the New Testament, but what we have as our Old Testament too. It covers the whole Bible. You see, the early church here in Acts, I think, were devoted to all of God's word. If you flip back with me to the author of Acts' first book, Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, it's on page 1067. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. You'll see that just before Jesus ascends to heaven after his resurrection, Jesus says to his disciples, who later become the apostles, "Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms," that's basically all the books that make up the Old Testament, "must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That is another word for the Old Testament. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." You see, if you were to go home tonight and read through the New Testament books, it wouldn't take you very long to realise that much of the apostles' teaching is actually based on an understanding and interpreting of the Old Testament in the light of Jesus Christ. Even the sermon that Peter gives back in Acts chapter 2, right before the section that we're looking at today, starting at verse 16, is all about Jesus fulfilling the promises of the Old Testament. Look what Peter says back in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. "This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." Now, Joel is one of the Old Testament prophets. The apostles spend a lot of time showing how Jesus is the one who the Old Testament looks forward to. They taught the Old Testament. For this early church to be devoted to and understand the teaching of the apostles, they also had to be devoted to what we know as the Old Testament. These first Christians were wholeheartedly devoted to God's word in its entirety. And not out of a sense of obligation. The apostles' teaching is the first thing that these new Christians devote themselves to after hearing about Jesus. It's the first thing that they do. It seems to me that they didn't feel obligated to listen to it, but they were simply excited to hear God speak. And their example is one that the members of Christ Church Central, or indeed any correctly functioning church, should and must follow. It is, after all, God's word that reveals to us how through Jesus we can have restored relationship with the living God, how we can have a hope of eternal life in paradise with God, and how God calls us to live both as individuals and as a church, as we wait for that day to arrive. The challenge to us, as we think about being members of Christ Church Central then, is, are we living our lives devoted to God's word? It's a strong word, isn't it, devotion? It means being strongly committed to something for the long haul. Devotion is something that often means having to let other things take second place in order to make the devoted a priority. God's word must have a priority, place a priority in the lives of the members of Christ Church Central. Not because of a sense of obligation or of legal requirement, but because we have in our hands the very word and teachings of our Creator God. God wants to reveal himself to you, speaking from the pages of the Bible. Being devoted to God's word shouldn't be a chore. It may well be hard work at times, but surely hearing the very word of our Creator God is a privilege, isn't it? That's why here at Central we'll make no excuse for making the Bible talks the main part of our Sunday meetings. It's why we'll continue to study the passages that we hear about on a Sunday in our Gamma teams, our small groups, during the week. to give us an opportunity to dwell, to consider, to question, and to apply what we've been studying. And it's why our children's and our youth work will prioritise the Bible teaching over fun. I'd hope they'll have fun too. But I pray that all our children and our youth will be set an example by their leaders, and more importantly their parents, to be devoted to God's word. But we must be careful not to just think that devotion to God's word is just about what we do together on a Sunday or at Gamma Team or at Club Central. We mustn't think that because we're corporately devoted to God's word, we've got all the boxes ticked. Now, devotion to God's word must also take place at an individual level. Are you devoted? Devoted to God's word? Are you excited that God speaks to you? Do you want to know better your Maker? Do you prioritise over other things your daily Bible readings? And not just as an intellectual exercise, but do you think on what you've read? Do you mull it over, allowing God's word to sink in and transform how you think, speak and live? When was the last time that you allowed the Bible to shape your understanding of the way you live? Why not buy yourself this week some Bible study notes? If you don't already use Bible study notes, then myself or Tim can certainly recommend some at the end. Come and speak to us. Why not bring a pen and paper to church next Sunday? Take some notes on what's being said from the Bible talk. Make an effort to read over them in the following week, thinking through how you've heard applies to you and your relationship with God. Why not use the journey through the Bible section on our website? We've even made it easy for you. It automatically gives you daily Bible readings, so you can read through the whole Bible. All you need to do is go onto our homepage and click on the link. It sets it all up for you. You have the opportunity to hear the mighty God speak to you. The question is, are you going to listen? Because that's what membership means. It means being devoted to God's word. The second thing, though, that we learn from our small section today about being a member of Christ Church Central is that it means being devoted to fellowship. Membership means being devoted to fellowship. Look again at Acts 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. I didn't have to think very long and hard for my points this week. Now, fellowship is one of those words that is banded around a lot in Christian circles, isn't it? And I fear we can often belittle what fellowship actually is. One of the most common uses of the word fellowship in churches, I think, is when Christians get together for a cup of tea or a man pint. You hear it said that we had a great time of fellowship in our house the other day, or down the pub the other day. Now, I'm not standing here to knock that at all. Christians meeting together and socialising is indeed fellowship. But we mustn't limit Christian fellowship to cups of tea. You see, the Bible teaches that fellowship is much, much more than that. Flick on with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. It's on page 1227, near the end of your Bibles. 1 John chapter 1. 1227. It expounds this idea of fellowship. Just wait till you get there. And when you've got it, have a look down at verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. That which we have seen and heard. John's talking here about the things he's seen and heard concerning Jesus. We proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you see what John's saying here? John says fellowship is more than cups of tea or a man pint. Fellowship is an intrinsic consequence of trusting in Jesus. John says we'll teach you about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, so that you can have renewed relationship and fellowship with God, and in doing so, that so you can become united in fellowship with us, the other believers. What this tells us is that there's no such thing as solitary Christianity. Christianity is about fellowship. If you're a Christian here today, whatever your background, age, sex, race, hobbies, intelligence, you and I are united in fellowship because of our common faith in the Lord Jesus. And don't get me wrong, as Tim was saying earlier, this fellowship isn't like a fellowship that's found from a common interest, like a Tupperware party or a judo class, where you can pick and choose who you want to share that interest with. No, the Bible understands Christian fellowship to be an inseparable and necessary consequence of faith. Christians are so joined in fellowship that elsewhere the Bible talks of the church as a family, as brothers and sisters. Just take a look around the room while you're here. Stop looking at me for a second and take a look around the room. No, really, take a look. If you are a Christian here today, then you are surrounded by spiritual brothers and sisters. That is what it means to be in fellowship. So of course, having a cup of tea or a man pint with other Christians is an outworking of your fellowship with them. But first and foremost, you are in fellowship because you and they have been united by God's grace, shown towards you in Jesus' death, and revealed to both of you through God's word. Jesus is both of your Lord. So what then does it mean for us here at Christ Church Central to be devoted to this fellowship? Well, it basically means showing a deep personal commitment to one another, functioning as a loving, committed family together, sharing in real partnership with one another, looking outwards and not inwards. Now, I know that this can be an alien concept to many people, especially in a time where there's so much family breakdown and individualism is so rife. It can also be something that fills those of us who are more shy or introverted than others with sheer dread, can't it? But God's plan for his church, the model that he gives us here in this early church in Acts, is family fellowship. That's why here at Central we have Gamma Teams. If you like, they're smaller fellowship groups taken from this big fellowship together. They're designed to allow us to work out what it means to devote ourselves to one another, where we can meet and love and serve and pray and teach and share and admonish and build up and train and laugh and socialise and weep and evangelise together as a family. But Gamma Teams aren't where it stops. We're part of a bigger fellowship. We're here now, we meet on Wednesdays at prayer meetings. So that's why on Sundays we ask Gamma Teams to help out with leading the meeting, with setting up the sound stuff, with carrying chairs over, with serving refreshments. Because they're very practical ways that you and I can work out our devotion to this fellowship. It's why our meeting begins at 4:30 and not 5 o'clock, so that you and I can spend time welcoming others into our fellowship, both newcomers and, as we're getting bigger, those we simply haven't met yet. Letting others know that Christ Church Central is devoted to fellowship. And as with being devoted to God's word, we mustn't stop with the corporate devotion to one another. It's not another box ticked. You and I must be personally devoted to our brothers and sisters. And so let me ask you once again, as I ask myself as well, have another look around you. Take a really good look around you. Sorry to make you have to do this, but it's really important. Do have a look around you. Are you devoted to this church family? Prioritising those who are sitting next to you, sitting around you. Because the Bible here tells us that that's what church membership means. Who, as you're looking around in this room, are you praying for? Who are you looking out for? Who isn't here tonight that may need that friendly phone call just to check that they're alright, that life's not thrown them a massive curveball? Who might need you to very practically help them by babysitting or feeding them or fixing a leaking radiator for them or lending them your car or your house or your wallet or whatever it may be? Who this week will you just socialise with, encourage, build up, just having a laugh with and relaxing with? Being Christianly normal together. You'll hear me and Tim banging on about that phrase all the time. Who needs to be taught the Bible? Who could you be doing a one-to-one with, training one another in godliness? Who could you be getting together with and praying with and studying God's word together? Who needs a friendly ear or somebody just to weep with? Who's lonely? Will you prioritise going to meet with others at your Gamma Team each week just to encourage them and help them in their Christian life? Will you prioritise being here to help out with Gamma duties on a Sunday afternoon? Will you prioritise serving the rest of the church family in whatever way you can? Whether it's music, administration, children's work, cleaning, or whatever it is that is the gift you have. Will you make it a priority to be in fellowship with the people around you? I could go on for ages, I'm sure. But all these things are what a devoted and properly functioning family do, aren't they? They look out for one another. Even in the midst of struggles and arguments and heartaches and fallings out, they look out for one another. Now, I know that if I was sat where you are right now, I'm the sort of person that who, after hearing this list, will be thinking, yeah, who is praying for me? Who will practically help me this week and come and fix my leaking radiator? Who will offer to read the Bible with me? But if you find yourself thinking like that, then you and I need to get our devotion right, don't we? Devotion to this fellowship is about looking outwards and not inwards. Are you devoted to Christchurch Central's fellowship? Membership of Christchurch Central means being wholeheartedly devoted to one another. It means being in partnership with those who are sat around you right now and those who aren't here right now too. I said earlier that it may seem like an alien concept in a society of family breakdowns and of individualism. It may seem to some of the quieter ones amongst us like a nightmare. But I think that actually if we could get this right, if we could work it out to its full here at Central, it would make membership of Christ Church very appealing, wouldn't it? Both to us here and to outsiders as well. So much so that our evangelism actually starts with our fellowship. Our looking out there starts with what we're doing in here. If each one of us were wholeheartedly devoted to everyone else here, then how amazing would it be to be a part of Christ Church Central? A church that does all those things for one another, who prioritises each other's needs first. It'd be amazing. So as we start a new year together, let's pray together that Christ Church Central will be a church whose members are genuinely and wholeheartedly devoted to God's word and to one another. Because that is what membership means.